You are listening to San Juan Now, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome to San Juan Now. I'm your host, Ben Nielsen.
And I'm your other host, Elaine Gisler. Today, we're looking forward to welcoming Megan McFall. She's the USU Blanding Small Business Development Center Director. And thank you for being here, Megan.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to be here today.
Megan, we want to learn about some of the great things that you've been working on for San Juan County. Can you start us off and maybe share a little bit of your history and background with us?
Sure. So that's a big background. I consider myself what's called a serial entrepreneur. I've had businesses in multiple industries, e-commerce, restaurant, wealth management is the most recent, and I absolutely love business. I came as a turnaround manager, and so I am both ADHD and dyslexic, and so I see things differently than most people do. And so as I look at a business as a turnaround or as a startup, I see things in systems. And so I've been able to be really lucky to be able to put systems together in businesses and be successful in that realm, in that way. So I have been very lucky in that. I have a degree from Utah State in Culinary Arts and Food Service Management and be able to excel in the restaurant industry. And that's where I love to play, I guess you could say. So that's a little bit about me.
That's awesome. Thanks. So you went to USU and you currently work for Utah State University.
I do.
But you started a lot younger than that. What age did you start doing your entrepreneur adventures?
So my entrepreneur adventures actually started at 18. A lot of people don't know this, but I started my classes at Utah State when I was 15. The part of that was my ADHD and dyslexia. A lot of people are, oh my gosh, you're so smart. And the truth is I wasn't. I was struggling in high school, and the solution was to actually do college classes. That's a really long story, and I don't want to fill up this time. So that's another story for another time. But ultimately, it came down to I started college classes, and because of my ADHD and dyslexia, the college professors knew how to work with that. And so I was able to excel within that realm be able to graduate from Utah State. But I started my first business in e-commerce at the age of 18. That was back when e-commerce was brand new and everybody thought I was crazy. In fact, I was actually told my business would completely fail. And I was able to excel and develop that business and to thrive in that industry. And it was an industry that I absolutely loved. And so that started my love of business, for sure.
Well, Megan, we are extremely lucky to have you here in San Juan County and at USU Blanding in the Small Business Development Center. You've got a tremendous amount of experience. And I know you've said that you've had some challenges with dyslexia and I think that that's amazing that you would turn that into a positive in that way. And I hope that that can encourage people that are listening out there who may think that if they do have that type of challenge, they can't do anything with it, but they can. I think they need to take a more positive approach to that. And how would you direct people to do that?
It's so true. People look at ADHD and dyslexia and things like that as disadvantages or disabilities. And the truth is if you look at it, it's a powerhouse. I look at my ADHD as a powerhouse, and I don't fit in anybody's box. People have tried to put me into a box my entire life and tell me this is how things should be and this is how it should look. And this is... probably, I take this probably to an extreme, but basically I look at them and say, no, this is not how it looks. Mm-hmm. And I do completely opposite. Mm-hmm. And I fit it within my own box and within my own realm. And I think completely outside the box. And so if there's somebody out there with ADHD or dyslexia or any other challenge, let's put that out there, mm-hmm. or disability or anything like that, mm-hmm. you'll learn how to live within that, or you learn how to live and make that your superpower. And I've done that. And so, you know, I call myself a serial entrepreneur, but I took that and like my ADHD, I get bored really easily. And so I had to take that. And so I love the startup phase of business. I love the growth phase of business. But at that point in time, I'm ready for my next challenge. And so I took that and I moved it into something that was creative. And so I, then at that point in time, I can either sell that business or I can have the systems in place so a manager can take over that business and I can move into the next phase and find another passion of mine or another thing that I absolutely love to do and not have that boredom phase that a lot of ADHD face. And so I was able to move into multiple different industries that I have love for and a passion for, but still be able to do what I love.
That's great. And yeah. I think hopefully that will give people who, you know, have those everyday challenges really the confidence to say, wow, I never knew anyone like that. But you know what, listening to that, I feel that maybe I need, you know, I can move forward in a different way and give them, you know, the positive energy that they need to deal with that in a way that can make them successful as you are. So we thank you. That was really great.
It is. I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who are in the same boat that could benefit from that. Play to your strengths. Right.
Definitely.
Right.
So you've been working on developing the USU Blandings Rural Co-working and Innovative Center. Can you share a little bit more about that and then how a fully working co-working center can impact our economy here in Blanding or in San Juan County?
Definitely. So we call it the Community Incubator and Co-working Space. It's located at 238 North 100 East in Blanding. The building itself is called the Spark Center, or the Spark Building, I should say. But the co-working space there is a space where we welcome both workforce and business, as well as tourism, or the tourists that are coming through the area that need a space to work remotely or to upload a podcast or a YouTube, whatever they're working on. But the cool part about this is a space where, for example, a startup business can find an office space or just a space to start their business, get themselves on their feet, and then move into a larger space. It's a low cost option. And we've been lucky enough so far to be able to write that cost into grants. And so the businesses we currently have there, we have 15 businesses currently that are members there that have been able to be there for free. Wow. Because we've been able to write that in on grants, which is really, really amazing. Wow. The economic development impact of that is actually huge in the aspect that we're helping businesses develop and to grow their business. And that has a tax impact on the county, mm-hmm. as well as the cities, as well as the businesses themselves have that income coming in with low startup costs, and we're able to develop and get essentially out of the red on those startup phases and move into the black earlier and have a better starting point to move into their own spaces. As far as the workforce development, we've created a lot of programs that I hope we're able to talk about here on the podcast, but create those remote work jobs that we're able to bring into the county and the community and to bring that economic development. So a lot of our industry is tourism based, which is incredible. And I love that. But if we're able to bring in a remote job from, say, a tech industry into the county that pays much higher than our normal average medium wage in our county. And so we're able to bring a higher income that they're able to work remotely. We offer a dedicated internet line as well as the infrastructure that they're needed to be successful in that on our end. And the support that they need, which is incredible and provides those opportunities for people within the workforce on that remote work as far as that's concerned.
Wow. I had a chance to visit the co-working space past week, and it is amazing. I know you've got computers, laptops in there and screens and printer. And I mean, just everything that anyone could really want or need, you know, the amenities. If they're remote working, or even if they're starting up, they've got a comfortable, great environment. So I would really encourage, the local community to come out and see it. Definitely. Take a look at the co-working space and see what it looks like. And we are actually opening our smaller co-working space here in Monticello in the library lower level. But I think all of these co-working spaces do give a great possibility for remote workers to come, people that are traveling. And I think it's really going to make a difference as we see people out, you know, out more in visiting these areas, especially the areas that we have. So
real quick. So the grand opening is March 24th.
It is
4:30 to 6 PM. We'll have refreshments. We'd love to have everybody there. It's in the old senior center. So below the Monticello Library.
In Monticello. Yeah. Exactly. And we're excited about that. So Megan, I know there are a lot of programs and opportunities available to the public. Is there a way, because I become overwhelmed sometimes with all that you offer. It is astounding. But is there a way that you can help the public understand what those programs are and how they fit together, such as SBDC, Custom Fit, Spark, STIT, RCIC, Business Resource Coordinator, Business Consultant, and Google? It's a lot. Who would think this little area in our little corner of Southeastern Utah has all of this available to, you know, to our community?
It is a lot. And the reality of it is they all actually work together and create an amazing hub for both business owners and workforce development. When we planned the Spark building, we planned it very intentionally. So a year ago, we actually renamed the building to Spark. And what Spark stands for is Small Business Personal Development Application Resources and Certification. And we named that very specifically, so we hopefully never have to rename that building again, because I think that building's gone through a name change every year for, like, I don't know how many years, but for multiple years. And that's that essentially is the overarching hub for everything that goes on there. So the first is Small Business Development Center. I'm the regional director for the Small Business Development Center. I can help small businesses with pretty much anything to do with small business, whether you're a startup and you just need help getting going, understanding the education, a part of it, writing a business plan, the taxes, anything on that. I am here to help you get going, grants, all of that stuff. If you're a business that is existing and you just need help with any aspect of that, I'm here to help you as well. Or you're looking for expansion and you need that backup for expansion. Custom Fit fits on that back end. It pays 50% of your training costs under the state of Utah. That's a state of Utah program, and it's open to every business, and it's a for-profit, which is unheard of. You have everything for nonprofits. Right. This is a for-profit program. And the reality of it is San Juan County is a county that does not utilize this program. In fact, we don't utilize our share of the funds any year. I think this is the first year we're kind of coming close, but we still haven't done it yet. And so I really hope the businesses take advantage of that opportunity that the state of Utah provides. STIT is another one that's on the other end, very similar to Custom Fit, except for that's the workforce development. So if you're in the workforce and you have to get a certification or like a first aid and CPR or an MSHA, OSHA, anything like that, and it's required for your employment, then you can come and utilize STIT.
What is that stand
funding
for?
Short-term intensive training. Okay. You can come utilize that, and that will help pay for 50% of your training. And those are the trainings that are offered within actually the Spark Center from Utah State University. Okay. And I try to offer pretty much everything that would be required for workforce development. I work closely with DWS to know what employers are offering. Obviously, I'm the SBDC director, so I work with the businesses to know what they're looking for as well. And then under that same umbrella, or under the Spark umbrella, is also the community incubator and co-working space. So we do have the private offices and the workforce development. And then a year ago, actually 18 months ago, we partnered with Google. And the really cool part about our partnership with Google, I absolutely love, is that we actually teach Google classes straight from our center. And we do that every Monday morning at 9 a.m. And those are free. So you can sign up for those on Eventbrite and be able to come and learn Google, how Google can help develop your business, whether it's building your business on YouTube or SEOs or analytics or anything like that. I teach those every Monday morning at 9 a.m. The other neat part is if you've spent any time on YouTube, for example, in the last year, you've heard about these Google professional certificates that are available. Google went through the IT world or the tech world and figured out there's a 1.3 million jobs that are open in the tech world, but they're under, the workforce is underskilled for. So they create created these certificates that we offer through our center. Google gave us 100 scholarships wow. to be able to offer our community to be able to complete these certificates and open up these 1.3 million tech jobs.
And that's in San Juan County.
That's in San Juan wow. County.
And what's the average wage?
The average wage of those five, there's five different certificates, and they cover multiple different jobs. There's over about 100 different jobs that those would cover. But the average wage is $63,000 a year.
Wow.
It's pretty incredible.
That's amazing.
Wasn't there a benefit with a laptop or something through Workforce Services, or is that still?
So we work very closely with Workforce Services. About halfway through the certificates, we line you up with Workforce Services as caseworkers, and they help you write your resume. We also work with ROI, which is the Rural Online Initiative. So you're taking their certificate as well, nice. So that you can prove that you're ready for remote work. So you can stay with your family. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to another city to get a job. You're able to work remotely. You're able to stay closer to your family, but still support them and be able to work with DWS mm-hmm. to write that resume to show that support and have you essentially ready for that opportunity. DWS, if you qualify, a laptop and things like that could be a possibility. Depending on what you qualify for. But the neat part about those certificates as well is Google has created what they call the Employer Consortium. And the Employer Consortium has over 150 employers that have open jobs. And they've agreed with Google that they are going to go first within this consortium and hire first through the Google graduates.
Nice.
And so that opens up mm-hmm. a huge opportunity. The state of Utah also has what's called the OJT program that's on the job training, which could pay up to 50% of their training for up to 90 days. It could be a little bit longer. It depends on, and there's a whole qualification process. I want to clarify that. There's a whole qualification process, but it's all opportunities, right? So if a national employer wants to hire you and they have a presence in Utah, that's another key. They have a presence in Utah, but they want to hire you here in San Juan County. They could get up to 50% of your training costs reimbursed. And so that's just another incentive as to why these employers want to hire in San Juan County. We have the co-working spaces throughout the San Juan County, which gives another incentive. We're offering for the RCIC within the Spark building a one-year membership to those employers so that they have a guaranteed space with the infrastructure so they have everything that they need to be successful to go and get those jobs. They have the certificate, they have the infrastructure, and they're able to go and chase a job knowing that they have the backing mm-hmm. that they need. So those are just some of the things that we've set up within our center.
And there are thousands and thousands of remote work jobs out there, whether they're full-time or part-time. And I think people have transitioned from being in an office and, you know, maybe now want to work at home, or a mom that, you know, feels that she wants to be home and work and spend time with her children at home. And I think that's a really huge benefit for San Juan County residents to take advantage of. And we would encourage, so if they want to reach out to, you know, sign up for anything, what would be the best way to contact you?
So the best way to contact me is either by email or phone. So the center's phone number is 435-678-8102. That's my direct line. Or you can reach out to me by email, and that's Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N, .McFall, M-C, F as in Frank, A-L-L, at usu.edu.
Thank you. Wow, that's a lot of programs, a lot of benefit for
a lot of offers.
Sure.
Yes.
Megan, what are your visions and goals for San Juan County?
Now that's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is.
So my mind just goes 90 miles an hour, as you can tell. It's the ADHD. So I would love to see a co-working space in every town. Obviously, because our towns are so small, smaller co-working spaces, but I'd love to see a co-working space in every town because we're limited by computer and broadband because we're so limited. That opens up opportunities for both business and workforce development. I would love to see business development to be able to bring in grants and funding and finances for businesses, both existing and startup. We created with San Juan County Economic Development Office a year ago, Entrepreneur Fundamentals. We're seeing that become extremely important and developing that But we also want to see that we're working on a tiered education portion of that. I'd like to see that develop and become a system so that as people are developing their business, there's no question. A lot of people come in and it's like, I don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. I have no idea where to start, but I have this incredible idea. There's never that question. This is exactly where you start. And they're able to do that, whether it be on Canvas, so it's mm-hmm. self-paced on their own, or they come and take the live classes me and to be able to have that system in place. I love that we have an incredible farmers market style business in the summer. We have all these farmers markets in every single town. We have all of these incredible businesses that are home-based businesses. I would love to see the support of that and developing that into a stronger foundation because those are incredible businesses that I think that don't get as much support as, or they don't think that there is support out there for them. And I would love to be able to show them that there is more support and more opportunity for sure.
And Megan, mm-hmm. this applies to all of San Juan County, including the Navajo Nation, correct?
It does.
And I know we had talked about possibly looking forward to maybe a co-working space down in that area in southern Utah on the Navajo Nation. Is that something that...
Yes, I'm working towards that as we speak, mm-hmm. actually. The hope is to be able to build that with the new Utah State University campus that's being built. And so we're working on the funding opportunity. It is important for me. It's been something I started talking about a year ago when I first started. I spent Mondays in Monument Valley for a year and working with those businesses down there and seeing the need of having the ability to have connection to the internet and computers and the ability to work remotely. And so I've been working with Christian Olson at Utah State University in Blanding as he's developed out the project, and to be able to have that funding is going to be an important aspect. So it's crunch time. And so we're working really hard, but we'll see if we were able to pull that off.
That's great. And how exciting. So Megan, what do you feel would be maybe obstacles that businesses in San Juan County face? Is there anything that you can identify?
So there's a couple of things that I can identify. So starting a business in a rural area actually can be very easy in the aspect of getting started and getting going. We have a loyalty to our people and our local businesses. But in the aspect that it is easy in that aspect, we skip steps and we skip phases. So like things like writing a comprehensive business plan, so we know what the next step for development is, or we know what we're going to do for marketing, or we have the proper website in place and things like that. Those types of steps sometimes get missed. And so that can be a barrier of expansion or growth for a lot of businesses. Proper marketing is incredibly important. Something I think COVID taught all of us is that those keys are really, really important. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you open a business in, say, Salt Lake City, you have 10 other businesses just like you. And if you don't do those proper steps, then you know that you're going to fail. And whereas out here, if you're the only business, you've got that captive audience. But if you have something like COVID and you cut off tourism, for example, like it did to us, we've lost one of our income streams. Creating those multiple income streams is harder in rural areas. Mm-hmm. And so creating those and having those plans in the beginning or developing those as you're going along is vitally important. And sometimes that gets skipped in rural areas.
Yeah. And I think putting together a business plan can be very painful at the very beginning, but knowing that you've got the resources there to help individuals who are scared, it's a scary process, but you can walk them through the steps. And I think that is, you know, almost like holding their hand as they're going through the entire from beginning to middle, you know, to growth, to all of those different levels or platforms that a business reaches. So it's great to know that you're there to support our residents that are interested in, you know, opening a business or if they've got an existing business and they want to expand, because that's a little scary as well. It's, gee, I've got this happening and I want to move my business forward, but gee, I don't know what the next steps are. Your office is able to provide those resources as well.
Definitely. Yes.
Great.
So you mentioned writing a business plan, COVID, and some obstacles, and I'm sure there's more. What would be your recommendation to city and county governments to help remove obstacles and create a more welcoming business climate?
Wow.
I like to ask you the tough ones.
That's the loaded question. Yeah, you do. Is this for startup businesses or for existing businesses?
Maybe take a shot at both.
Okay. So existing businesses that we have going on right now, as we recover from COVID, we're shifting out of the grant phase and they're moving more into the guaranteed loan phase, okay. Where the reality of is businesses aren't ready for loans. They still are in the grant phase, mm-hmm. and they still need that grant style of funding, okay. Because having a loan and having a payment and things like that, they're not quite ready for that. And so looking at ways that we can support them in the grant style. And that can sometimes just be $10,000, $5,000 and $10,000. And I think San Juan County just did a grant system and backed up several businesses that way. And that's incredible.
We did. We gave away almost $170,000 to local businesses, and they were in different increments.
Yeah.
And we had requests for over $1 million when we got all the applications in. And I wish we would have had that, but I feel that our economic development office, you know, we wanted to help. And the SED board, which is our community economic development board, I mean, they read through all the applications as Ben and I did. And it was a really tough decision to sort of determine, you know, the allocation of the funding. But the goal was to take the money and say, how is the county going to benefit mm-hmm. from, you know, what kind of ROI are we going to receive from giving out that funding. So it's a little bit of money. We hope to be able to do that on an annual basis, but you're right. These people still are working where they still need grant funding to help them get over the hump.
Yeah, we're not quite there in our rural areas to be able to do the loans yet. And so seeing that, as far as startups goes, the truth is getting startup money is next to impossible. Mm-hmm. A bank wants 24 months of a P&L financials to be able to say yes, you're bankable. Yes, we can loan to you. So a lot of our startups are doing it from their own pockets, or mm-hmm. they're mortgaging their homes, mm-hmm. and that's a scary thing, especially when they did that when COVID, and they didn't have the resources, and so that's a scary thing. So creating the possibilities of micro loans and things like that, and a lot of our businesses really can get started on very small amounts of money, everything from a couple thousand dollars all the way up to as little as $25,000 can get them through the startup phase to that 2-year mark where they're now considered bankable. And so being able to create those opportunities for them to do that is huge. And I think that we'll have more success rate with our startup businesses and get them past that first 2 years and have those financials to move into the next phase.
That's great information. Thank you.
Cool. So Megan, how does providing more opportunities for businesses, you know, help our visitors that are coming here? How do you see that positively impacting our visitors?
So there's multiple ways it can impact our visitors. Most of our businesses are visitor related. So whether it is a retail store for them to shop in and bring in, give them that opportunity, or it's a hotel or a hospitality type of situation, or I'm working with a restaurant right now to go in. There's multiple different opportunities that way, but pretty much almost any business that we have that will go into place will affect a business in some way, whether directly or indirectly. If it's a side business that is a coaching business, that it might coach one of those restaurants or might coach one of those other ones into development. So all of our businesses are interconnected in one way, shape, or form, but in the end, they all create that tax revenue. In the end, they all create that development that helps our counties and our cities, help them with that infrastructure that we need, our roads, mm-hmm. Our all of those different items that we need to maintain in mm-hmm. order to continue to bring in the tourism and our visitors, which is important as well.
For sure. So we have different views on visitors and people coming to the county. The reality is people are finding out about our county and they are coming here. So do you have recommendations for people to have a business to position themselves for maybe an influx of a visitor? You know, we want to have managed growth. We've talked about that before. And so, we do get to decide the rate of growth, but we are seeing that happening, more people coming, more people visiting. So how could businesses position themselves to best take advantage of that?
A lot of it comes down to planning. You're right. We're all having higher numbers and they're going to steadily increase, especially as we pivot out of COVID and people feel more comfortable in traveling and our international travel comes back and things like that. And so as we do that, businesses need to plan on that development. The earlier that you plan, the longer stretch out. A lot of our businesses, they'll go into business and their planning is essentially 1 or 2 years. They'll plan 1 or 2 years and not think of what their business is going to look like in 10 years. Mm-hmm. If they'll go in and they'll look, okay, my business is going to look like this in 10 years, a lot of planning and writing your business backwards, essentially, will put you in the right place and the right position to be able to handle that additional growth, to be able to handle what you need to do, whether that's a marketing plan, whether that's an expansion plan, whether that is staffing, whether that is a new location, whatever that looks like, that puts you in a position to be able to do that. Whereas if you're only looking at 2 years out, this season and next season, or maybe even just this season, just to get through, then you're not working on the development that needs to happen in order to get that additional influx. Mm-hmm. When, for example, that bus of 50 comes in and you don't have your banquet room completed if you're a restaurant, mm-hmm. or if you're a hotel and you didn't have that expansion, or whatever that looks like. And that's different for every town, that's different for every business, but having that in your mind will be an impact. And that also helps you prepare for grants, something we talk about very heavily within our SBDC is being grant worthy. And part of being grant worthy is knowing where you're going with your business, what kind of expansion, what kind of workforce you need, things like that, so that you have all those numbers and all those figures and all those quotes. So when, for example, like last July, when the state of Utah drops a grant and gives us 72 hours to write a grant, and if you've ever written a grant, you know it takes longer than 72 hours to write. Okay, you have everything you need in place. And so we are able to actually put that in and submit it. And we were lucky enough that we had nine grants written from that, when we only had 72 hours, because we had so many businesses that were grant worthy, and we had several of them funded, many of them within San Juan County, a couple in Grand County, things like that. But how cool is that to be, know that if a grant drops, you're able to write it immediately and being ready for
it. We've talked about that even in our office on a bigger scale for, the county, and not reacting. We don't have time to react, because they expect you to turn it around in such a short time. So how do we look forward to say, okay, these might be the projects. This is what we want to focus on. Here is the growth we're looking at, and what is it going to take to get there? And this way we're ready with all of that content that would be needed to put into a written grant. Yep. So I agree. I think definitely that's really, really good advice.
Well, just think of, like, for example, if you needed to do an expansion or a remodel, if you had to go and ask a contractor right now for a quote, would you be able to get one in 24 hours?
Good point.
Because that was the turnaround time.
That's a really good.
That was the turnaround time. Right. So knowing your numbers is important.
So lastly, if you're willing to share, do you have a favorite place to visit or a hidden gem that you love in San Juan County?
So, I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. So I'm a city girl, complete city girl at heart. Moving to San Juan County was a little bit of a culture shock for me. It took me a couple months to get in, and I absolutely love it here. But it took me a little while to get used to not having a Walmart just down the street to go in and get whatever I wanted. So, I'd never done the hiking, the recreational, anything, stuff like that. But I am stepping out of my comfort zone. I came in the middle of COVID too. Please remember that. Wow. So nothing was happening. So, but I'm getting out of my comfort zone. And one of my favorite things to do, actually, I just started doing this, is actually going out and doing the side-by-side thing and going and seeing our national parks and stuff like that. One of the businesses that I'm lucky enough to work with does side-by-sides, and we did a photo shoot for websites and his social media marketing. And part of that was going out on a ride through Bears Ears, and that was absolutely incredible. And it was my birthday, of all things, which was a lot of fun. And then I'm seeing, like, House on Fire was absolutely jaw-dropping. Wow. And then Monument Valley, I absolutely darn it love to have an excuse to have to drive to Monument Valley, because the whole ride is incredible.
Yes.
But then to get down there and just be in awe of the buttes and just see how, like, it still takes my breath away every time.
You can look at hundreds of pictures, but unless you see it in person, right?
I totally agree. So darn it, every time I have to go down to Monument Valley and help a business, it just, oh man, twist my arm.
that's amazing.
And there's a special feeling you get when you drive into that valley. It's a neat place.
It is.
So Megan, this week you honored a couple of new businesses that had started, which, and I had the privilege of attending the luncheon. Thank you very much. But might you want to just mention those businesses and a little bit about them?
You bet. So I was lucky enough. So we had three top businesses. Every year, every SBDC center sends in top businesses. We track everything. We send out annual surveys. And those surveys are so important to our centers for multiple reasons. Number one, it determines whether we get funded or not and how much funding we get. And so as business owners, when you see those centers, that's a shameless plug, but it determines on whether we actually get what funding we get. The other thing is I use those for grants to figure out what's needed and what grants I write. That's why we're able to cover the cost of the co-working space for so many businesses this past year. But those businesses, the first one was Ancient Waves, owned by Lewis Williams. And I've been working with him for 2 years. He was actually the first business that walked in the door right when I got hired. And absolutely incredible business. He's a hiking and river rafting tour guide, and absolutely incredible business. The one thing that always sticks out in my mind with him is that his business opened 4 days after the COVID restrictions went into place. And it wasn't to any fault of his own. That's just when he got his LLC from Navajo Nation. And so he didn't qualify for any of the natural COVID relief funds. And so he's literally bootstrapped his business and has hustled and went and got grants and all kinds of different things to stay into business and to fund his business. And it's just absolutely incredible what he does, and his tours are incredible. And I can't wait until he gets his BLM permit to go onto the river, because I am going on a river trip. That's another stepping out of my comfort zone thing with him then. The other one is the business I mentioned a minute ago is Josh Nelson's Sunrise Outfitters. He does side-by-sides tours through several different areas, but Bears Ears is the big one that we're working on marketing with him right now. He has developed added the side-by-sides. His family's been in business for 30 years in different ways, but he's just recently added the side-by-sides. And absolutely incredible. It was so fun to go out and hear the stories of the areas and see his philosophy on business and leaving that legacy, that family legacy in business, which was so, so fun. And then the last business was Carrie Dieter at Dieter Accounting out of LaSalle. And so she has built her business and is in the process of expanding into a new building and building a new building, which is incredible. But Carrie is also given multiple free QuickBooks classes and worked one-on-one with several businesses with QuickBooks, because it's a huge need for a lot of businesses. You got to know your finances and you got to know how to run that. And I've leaned on her pretty heavily, poor lady, on a lot of those classes, and she's done those free of charge for us. And we so appreciate that, but she's developed business over the past year to the point where she needed to expand out of her current location into a new building, which is absolutely incredible. And she's working on what's called the Bear Center up in LaSalle, which is going to be a co-working space in LaSalle. Awesome. And providing that opportunity in LaSalle.
That's amazing. We're very lucky to have those individuals and that they were honored this week. And Lewis, I think, was featured in the Success magazine.
He was.
And a great article. And actually, we're going to be posting a video and the article that Megan was kind enough to share with us on our economic development Facebook page. So everyone can take a look at that. And I think, well, we certainly thank you for being here. And I want to also reach out to say that if you out there in San Juan County have any questions, you may send them to us via email. And hopefully within the next few weeks, we're going to be implementing a new program where people can send in a voice message for questions for upcoming podcasts. We really want these podcasts to be meaningful for the San Juan community, for everyone. And over the course of the next months and weeks, we're going to be introducing you to other incredible people like Megan that are in our community that really, really do a lot for our community with so many offerings. And if you didn't know about it before, hopefully this podcast gave you enough information and the confidence for you to reach out and give her a call. So thank you for coming up to Monticello today. We really appreciate you being here. You're an incredible lady. I think you've inspired a lot of people today. And I know, I feel confident that if they team up with you, their business is definitely going to be a success.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, it's truly been our pleasure to have you here. We appreciate you taking the time and all that you're doing for San Juan County. For anybody listening, we really do want to hear from you. We want your comments on what you want to hear from future podcast episodes or what you've already heard, just any comments that you have about past episodes. You can get a hold of us at info@sanjuancounty.org. And you can also follow us and comment on Facebook and Instagram. And we'll look forward to next time.
Thanks for listening to San Juan Now, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Elaine Gisler and Ben Nielsen, and produced by Relic.